I'm ready for it, Andrew.
All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, October 13, 2015, and ask if everyone please join the Board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll go to consideration of the October 6th minutes.
Move approval.
Second. Motion and a second. Any corrections, additions, or changes? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Minutes pass. Personnel actions as listed, Board.
Move approval. Second.
Motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda, Board. Please add road closure 1639 and that's all.
Okay. Move approval with no changes.
Second. Motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. No agency reports. Oh. No public hearing items. Additional item, discussion and consideration of Veterans Affairs Office staffing needs. Board, this is something we've been trying to get done now for a few weeks. We thought we were going to be able to get it done today. The VA Commission was not able to have a quorum present here today, and we really want their input on this. So they have requested that we postpone this item to a later date. I'm suggesting November 10th as that later date. It's time for us to go ahead and get to the end of this conversation.
I agree.
With your permission, we would postpone this item to November 10th.
We don't need a motion or anything.
I don't think you need a motion.
No.
I just think
that's
good. Yeah.
Okay.
But in agreement.
No agency reports, departmental reports, environmental health departmental report. Margaret with a numb tooth today.
A numb mouth, yes. Excuse my slurring. Good morning.
Good morning.
Quarterly report for environmental health. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe I should start doing every 2 months report, every 2 months, just like I do with the Board of Health. That way, one talk, two boards. That work for you guys?
Works.
Okay.
Hey, you just want to be seen. We'd love to see
you. We like it when you're here.
Well, thank you. All right, starting off with septic systems. We've got 68 going in this year. Not a record, but not bad. A lot of those, or several of those, are Cameron Estates. For wells, we've done 24 wells, seven of which are water wells, mostly animals. 16 plug, 2 rehabs, 114 water samples. That's high, so that's really good. Staff has really been doing a good job on that. Time of transfer inspections, 39. Grants to counties, we received 26.5 this year, down about 10,000 from last year, and we've spent close to 4,000 on that. Pools, tattoo, tanning. We finished up end of July and submitted the reports and everything. And for the most part, violations are down quite a bit on all three categories. So I'm happy to see that. There's still some learning curves in that. We've got three new pools going in the Ames area, hotels. And we've been accompanying the engineer with that, the state engineer, and that helps us understand how those pool systems work. They can be really complicated, especially the old ones, because they're all cobbled, the plumbing and that. So we're learning a lot from the state engineer. I've been attending the Slater Source Water Protection meetings, and we chipped in $250 from our grants to counties money to cover advertising for well plugging. And then we also offered to send mailers to the non-permitted systems in the zone of protection. For enforcement, I have 8 outstanding time of transfer and binding agreements, 3 of which are overdue, and mostly it's because the contractors are behind on their installations with all the rain this summer. 11 outstanding notice of violations. None of them are earth-shattering, so they're on a watch. We got new one new one recently, and that was open discharge of sewage in Fernald, which is an important problem because they're packed in so tight there. So we're working with them on that. And then three new complaints in 2015, again, the sewage, and then two bed bugs. Hickory Grove watershed update. Two more systems went in this month, so seven. We've got two more to go, and they should be going in this fall before before Jesus. Yeah, really getting there. That one other special one, no movement on. Crestview update, water supply. They've got one water source, and it's an old 1970s well, and it hasn't been keeping up with quantity or quality. So I set up a meeting with Ames and Branch, DNR, to discuss the possibility of them hooking up to water. And they're drafting a letter to Crestview saying that they would, city would supply water to them, but in the future they would have to annex. And most of the vacant trailers are gone. This is just the 2013 shot. But on the left there, that used to be just lined with empty vacant trailers, and all but one are gone now. So really, really good. Looking a little better. It's not, never going to look, you know.
Didn't you tell us last time the burn pile, you were finding stuff out in the burn pile that was not appropriate? How's that look?
That, he doesn't let me in there. I have to really make him come out to the site. So I don't know. But I haven't, the people that complain about him haven't seen any smoke coming from there. So I think he's starting to get the idea that he can't be burning that stuff.
And I'm looking for a burn place to donate some stuff that, you know, could...
Not there,
yeah. It's called Resource Recovery. Okay, trainings and meetings. C2C, I've been going to those. And Kathy and I went to the well workshop over in Boone County. Very informative, mostly about grouting. The previous did the EOC training. And Kathy and I were in Waterloo just last week for the ANIHA training. And a couple interesting things. So bed bugs, they passed around a petri dish of live, a sealed petri dish of live bed bugs so that we could look at that. And now the message that they're kind of coming up with is get used to it. They're here to stay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so control rather than totally eliminating bed bugs. That's not a happy thought, in my opinion. And then the other interesting thing, having gone to the dentist today, they were looking into mercury poisoning from crematoriums. And Ames has one, you know, right on Lincoln Way there. And as it turns out, it's from the amalgams in the bodies being burned. But they also learned that there is not a significant impact from mercury from these crematoriums. Yeah, so it's mostly gold mining is where most of the mercury poisoning comes, and burning of fossil fuels. Let's see, and Matt continues to go to our MAPS meetings and keeps us on top of things with the GIS stuff. This guy rifled through my bucket and stole my water bottle and took off. This kind of stuff is what makes my job fun, this guy here. He gives me no lip. So for miscellaneous stuff going on, I turned over our lead files to IDPH, and so we're done with the lead inspection program. Center Grove Orchard, they've been working with an engineer to try to get their septic system for that whole thing. It's a tough system because it has to be huge for 1 month out of the year. So it's kind of like a church where you have to really come up with something technical on that. So they're working on that. And meanwhile, instead of land applying, they are using the Huxley treatment plant for this. So they get it pumped once a day during their busy season. Yeah. So it's working out okay. Cameron Estates, I got another call this morning from Fox Engineering. There were three so far that I upgraded the system to what was recommended by the engineer, and I'm getting some heat from that, but I still stand where I'm at on that. It's just they have to upgrade those three systems. And then the disclosure ordinance is on hold. I'll probably have to meet with Ethan on that and figure out what direction to take, if any at all, because legal counsel suggested we not pursue 90% of that policy that we wanted to do on the disclosure for septics. And thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Futuristic thought, and I may have gotten it wrong, but we have a representative from Environmental Health and Public Health on the IFAC board, and the discussion at our last board meeting talked a little bit about infections of restaurants and eating facilities and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Are you aware of a movement to change basically how the frequency by which that's done and who basically is going to have that responsibility? And, you know, just listening to the information that was shared, this really seems to be really real problematic in terms of the frequency by which some establishments are actually being inspected and ultimately who overall has the responsibility to basically do that. So I was just wondering in turn, and this could be something you could just tell us at a later date. Some time ago, I think you maybe mentioned to us, maybe a few years ago, about where we were in Story County in terms of inspection of restaurants and other food establishments. So just throw that in the back of your mind if there's something that is changing or something that you think that we need to look at in the future. Just appreciate hearing you.
Yeah. You know, every year the environmental health folks lobby for increased fees for restaurant inspections, and it's just never successful. I don't know why. They are going to lobby again this year, and we'll see where that goes. Right now, it's a money loser, and therefore the inspections are going back to the state, and then the frequency is going down of the inspections. So, yeah, needs your attention.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing them up.
Marta, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Marta. Next is the IRBM, Departmental Report, Joe Quaker. Joe, what'd you do to your hand?
I hurt it. Removing chaff from the back of the old Alice Chalmers combine. Evidently, when you have a piece of equipment that is built in 1962, which wasn't a bad year, by the way.
No, it was a good year.
There might be some...
Everything from 62 is falling apart. I'm just looking.
Yeah, and so, I, you know, it's just a battle wound. So, not a numb tooth, kind of a numb brain today, and that's not normal, as you all know, but... And I know this is going to be a professional talk today. Thanks for having me here. It's been a while since I've been able to make it through. We've been in the field a lot. And I talked to Mike last Tuesday. We have our meetings with Story County Conservation. We used to have them weekly. And we would, you know, be kind of busy and we wouldn't all make it. So we decided to go every twice a month and be a little more punctual and be able to make it. And one of the things... that our staff really haven't had a chance to catch up in the office, but we're trying that. I think once we got this combine thing out of the way, and now we're hitching up all the plantings. Darren, he's had his report. They're really, with this good weather, making a lot of headway on the projects and the drainage issues that they've had on some of the roadsides, which means that I got to get out there and get planting. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of starting my talk at the end and working... opposite. But anyway, I wish I'd have made it to the water, that Huxley Watershed meeting. Well, I was at one, but we started combining that day. But anyway, so good morning. It was a little challenging summer. We budgeted pretty good. Remember last budget process, we tried to get a little more seasonal help, mm-hmm. you know, add a few weeks on, which is very important because we're really busy in April, May. You know, we're busy the whole time, but as just like, farming in Iowa or anywhere else, and then the fall. So we hit it lucky where we were able to catch staff that were out of school or going part-time to Iowa State, and they can put in some hours. And so I was able to have, and still do have, two seasonal employees on a few days a week, which really helps out getting things done, Tyler and I. So it's good to have that help. The flip side of that is great, great kids, people, warm bodies, but pretty green. And so it takes a season about to train them. And normally we have, somebody returning, so they may know where Brecky's is or, used to go to Tyson's and things. But it was a whole new process, so it was a little challenging for a while. But we pulled it off. I think the last time I was in, we talked about, this has been a while back, swapping the hydro seeder out. We got that done. The new one went on the old one. The truck was all fixed up, and we hit it pretty hard. I'm going to put a program together the next time I show up with all my year-end numbers and really cool slides that we've been taking. But this won't be this obviously isn't going to be today. And we kept up with the road department seeding. We couldn't get into any of the roadsides with the tractor or drill, which is kind of nice to do to drill things in. Hydro seeding works good in wet weather, and guess what? We had wet weather, and we couldn't get in. It was wet, but if you spray the mulch on the seed, you get a little moisture, not a lot, not 4 inches. At times, we had to go redo stuff, but it grows. So you'll see a lot of things greening up like a chia pet, and it worked well. And we're doing that again. We started in September, between other things, throwing on winter wheat. Winter wheat's a good one to grow if you can get it to pop this spring or fall, which we had great weather. It greens up a little bit, and then in the spring, next spring, it really greens up. It holds the soil, and when it's green, it makes everybody happy. So spray season was a challenge. At times, I've been told that my phone number for the weed commissioner, we can look at this, is kind of tough to find. It's hidden between the road department, possibly, and conservation. But I think that my phone is on everybody's sticky note. And my house where I live, because if there's a weed problem, they're going to come find me. And everyone's pretty good about it. With the moisture, things grew fast and over and over. And that's just a part of the cycle. later in the year, there's this thistle. You may know it. It's called tall thistle. Its friend is the field thistle. They're native thistles. They're not like the Canada or the musk with the big purple heads. They have white underneath, so they're a native thistle. They're kind of obnoxious, but not noxious. And so a lot of calls on those, but it was tough teaching folks that we weren't going to really prioritize that plant and go out and spend tax dollars on controlling it when it really doesn't take over or cause, a cost reduction in producing. If it's not really going to, if it's just aesthetics, I'm not really going to chase after it. If it's going to cost you money, take over a pasture, or a sight distance problem, then yes. The other two that went along that was the one that Dennis Valentine always enjoyed when I brought it in, and that would have been cannabis, sativus, which is hemp or what they call marijuana. That's an annual plant. It's really tough. It grows like ragweed. The stem can get as big as your thumb. And if you've ever mowed it, it's like rope. It's hard to mow. It really is tough, and it can cause snow drifting in the back slopes. So when the dead stems are there, they don't just knock over in the winter. It can actually have a snow fence, and then the snow will slow down and hit the road. So we tried to get up on that, but this was a tremendous year for that annual plant. It's not hard to get rid of. It's just there's a lot of it. We did hit that a little bit, and then our friend the giant ragweed. So I do believe, I haven't done the numbers, but we did have a record amount of, I don't like to call them complaints, but I will, notices, people calling the office and letting us know about these plants. Our sprayer did go out of our main spray truck, but we rebuilt the pump and engine and got that done. Bought a new engine. It was a 2005 Honda. So, 10 years later, a lot of running. We bought a new engine, rebuilt the pump. We're good to go. And keep in mind, spray season's over. I think the board might have gotten a call. When we do go out and spray, we use our truck. It has a gun on the front, electrical with a, you know, cylinder that raises up and down. We also have a reel in the back, and we have a Polaris that we have a tank and a spray gun. And we spot spray. We don't blanket spray. It's a spot spray, but sometimes, Board, the spots are big. And so the public may go by, and thankfully they do, and critique our work. It may look like we're blanket spraying, but, you know, for 50 yards, we're covering a patch of thistles or maybe some cottonwood trees that are growing up around a bridge approach. We want to keep the trees down around the bridges, you know, just for liability and sight. And I do believe some folks came in, and Paul might have talked about that, maybe, if you remember, but anyway. So we do spot spray. Last budget cycle, we talked about not budgeting for a brush contractor, so we did not. They're getting harder and harder to find to come in through the county, unless, you know, over a certain amount of dollars. And we thought, best intentions, that the IRVM program could cover 3 to 4 townships in Story County. But with everything else going on, we did cover 1.5. We'll have to address that somehow, talk about our options in that respect. We'll probably need to increase that somehow. And something we'll have to give, or we'll have to find a contractor. But a township and a half, and those townships were Washington and half of Union. Union and Indian Creek and Collins Township in the southern part of the county, a little more brushier. You know, all the creeks are coming together. Story County really doesn't have a big brush problem compared to a lot of counties along the, like Boone, you know, along the rivers. They spend a lot more time clearing out brush because it's just that type of, you know, geographical area. But we have kept up on it in the past, and it's nice to keep some of those trees down again because of liability and sight distance. I'm through my first page. No. Weed commissioner duties, I talked about the private lands. You'll be excited to know that, again, I'm going to talk about the CRP. The people in charge of CRP, the federal and state folks, they've really singled out Iowa, Illinois as areas to focus on and pump money into, try to stabilize our watersheds and our creeks and our soil. And so the payments on CRP are the highest they've ever been. And every chance I get in every coffee shop and rubbing elbows, where I talk about buffer strips and getting things, you know, stabilized. And we are getting folks sign up. The limiting factor at this point is at the NRCS office, which they're swamped and don't have a lot of staffing. And we're working actually out a deal with Pheasants Forever, if it'll work, where they will, the Story County chapter, which will, they'll donate money to the NRCS office to hire a part-time staff person. If they can find that person, it takes a lot to be certified to work for the federal government. I think you got to pass a pretty good background check, which I would be able to pass, by the way, probably, maybe. But anyway. So the drill went out to about 16 landowners, 16 to 20, in Story County. It did 200 acres, which isn't a crazy amount, but we did distribute seed through the Pheasants Forever program to about 350 to 400 acres of CRP in Story County, which is the most we've done in years. You might have seen the mowers out. Remember the half batwing mower we bought with the new tractor that Tyler got for doing open ditches? We put that mower onto the tractor, and we mowed a lot of our wider right-of-ways this year just to keep the brush down and clean them up. Since we can't do a lot of the burning, we're doing a little more mowing. It's kind of full circle to compare to when we used to mow all everything every year. We're not doing that. We're just touching some of the wider right-of-ways up. So you might see the mower out a little bit. I did do a presentation at the Iowa Prairie conference in July about IRVM, and Tyler did attend the 25th annual roadside conference at Iowa City in September. I did not go. We did spend some time. Mike worked out our Mike Cox, our director, and Mike Stegman, the director for Marshall County. They have a new park going at Greencastle, Lake, which is south of Marshalltown. And we helped those guys seed down some highly erodible sites of their new campground. So we drove the hydro seeder over there, which we're charging for. Mm-hmm. We're going to recoup that. But we helped them for a couple days and hydro mulched 3 acres for Marshall County, which is, you know, good medicine. If they help us, we help them.
So,
harvesting, we started it 3 weeks ago. The combines hung in there for a while. I will say at about 6:45 last night, I heard a big clunk and a clank, and that was it. But I decided we'd had enough seed in the seed room. And this morning, the guys and Megan Gal went down and started unhooking equipment and bringing it back. So now we're going to focus on planting. We did a couple public seed harvests at Doolittle Prairie, which went well. I always say that my seed grows better when it's touched by the hands of volunteers. So hopefully that'll work out. I'm a philosopher. I'd like to thank Andy Swanson, a farmer, producer here in Story County, for loaning us a air box, which is a big box, the size bigger than this desk over here. It can hold a lot of seed in bags, has a big fan, you close it up, and it dries your seed, compared to us throwing it on the floor with fans and, you know, mice getting it. It's a really nice addition, a loaner to our seed program. So thanks, Andy. A somber tone. Number 51, one of the mainstays of our program, been a faithful truck all the way through since 1996, and 164,000 miles later, went to the DOT auction yesterday at 11 o'clock. Hesitation? I'm not sure exactly when the DOT auction is. It's late in a couple weeks. If you want to go see 51 or bid on it, good luck. It's still a good truck, but it's gone. You guys know the one I'm talking about, Wayne? Yes. So we do.
Mine is down. Shall I go take a look at it?
No. Better have a toolbox. No, it's a good truck. We're getting our new one in a couple weeks. We ordered it long ago. It's just taken some time. That was in through the budget. We ordered it right at July 1st as a replacement. In the meantime, we have a loaner from one of the branches of the conservation that they don't use in the off season so much. So you mix all that together with the drainage ditch work, which I have a sheet somewhere on it.
Right here.
You remember our meeting with Hamilton County? We're learning, and I think Paul, you had some calls. We spent considerable amount of time going back to Boone Story 8, Boone Story 1, Boone Story 3, Grant Number 13, and Hamilton Story 1 back and sprayed resprouts as good as we could. I need to let the board know access to these are still a huge factor in safety and quality control. To get to these edges of these drainage ditches is pretty tough when the corn's high, or in the case of Boone Story 1 where it was reworked, maybe not so elegantly, can I say that? It was left a mess down there, but we did work with the landowner and the person that did do some of the ditch cleaning, and we worked with conjunction with him in his equipment. He operated the equipment, and we sprayed that whole drainage ditch two or three, you know, afternoons to get it right. And so we did get that Hamilton Story 1, Paul, sprayed all the way through. With that, there are still, I hate this word anymore, it kind of gives me nightmares, brush piles left up there, but south of 150th. It's not the area that, it's what they cleared last year. So two more brush piles to get rid of when the corn's out. We need to cut brush. We need to get some money on the books for this. We have Grant 5. We have Boone and Story 1. Hardin Story 3. And Milford number 45. That's the one by the Prairie Rail Trail up there that we still need to clear out and do some brush cutting. And again, we have $4,800 still in for that seasonal person to help us cut the brush out of that. So we budgeted fairly wisely when it came to getting help to do this. Sometimes it's tough to find the help. So you mix that in with Dakin's Lake and that rain garden up there that's been kicking us around a little bit. It's been fun.
Been a good year.
Yeah.
I know you looked to me like you kept up really, really well on the roadside seedings until here recently, and then we've fallen behind a little bit. Understandable.
Yep.
Anything else that we need to be aware of?
Maybe, quite honestly, I didn't get back in a timely fashion to some of the phone calls that came in. There were up to 15 a day through the busy season. We try to get those as good as we can. They're called back. It just wasn't as timely as I'd like it. And I sense some frustration with the public in that respect, which I don't like, you know, to have. So that's about it on that account. But we need to catch up on seeding.
All right. Question for Joe. Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Catch up on seeding, man.
Rock on. I'm on it.
Other report, first quarter FY16 financial report from 1962, Lisa Markley.
Not quite, but real close. That's all I'll say. End of September, for end of the first quarter, 25% of the year, we have six departments that are a little over 25%, or actually the engineers substantial 6% over, which is explainable because of their season. Mm-hmm. Most of these are going to get taken care of real shortly when I do a budget amendment anyhow. So overall, for the year, we're at 22% of our expenditures. Our fund balances are looking fairly healthy. Right now, the general fund is at 22 and the supplemental is at 28.9. Rural services is at 12, secondary roads at 31%, so we're looking good on ending fund balances right now, and we're at the year. For revenues, we have nine departments that are over on revenues, which is better, like that. We're at almost 37% of our revenue bringing in. If you'll notice, countywide is at 43, which makes sense. That's where the taxes come in. So we've collected about 43% of the taxes out of the 50% that we typically have at the end of September. So, mm-hmm. Any questions?
There's nothing here that really caused me undue concern. We knew about the, I think it was an extra $20,000 coming into IT.
IT, right.
Anything here that
I made a pretty much a conscious decision not to amend revenues substantially at this point in time. I'd wait till the next amendment because we'll have a better idea on a lot of those. So, but no, there's nothing of concern here for me right now.
Questions for Lisa?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Thank you. We take a motion to accept this.
Yeah, I don't think you need to have
information. That takes us to public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting, although we may do so in the future. Anyone wishing to address the board? Seeing no one moving to the microphone, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul, I'll pass. Wayne.
Just briefly met with Carla yesterday. Nothing really substantial there. I just kind of thanked her and gave her a quick overview of our last children's mental health work group in terms of a report that we had received from Minnesota that we were really looking at and maybe looking to model some of the things there. And we just tweaked a few things in that discussion, but I shared that, and she was going to share it with Jody. I also met with both Jody and Russ, as well as a meeting with John Bush. And I was able to incorporate some of their areas of concern in our discussion. Right now we are further along than what people had thought we would be. Our October 28th or 29th next meeting has been postponed due to conflicts of several people. But one of the things that was interesting, we got into a ongoing discussion about trying to identify funding and the governance structure, and we were kind of asked to steer away from that at this point because with a short time frame, we needed to really identify what services that the children's mental health system needs to have. They threw out terminology like core, similar to the adult, and if we could come up with a clear array of services, then we could begin to determine the funding source as well as the overall governing source. But they felt that if we tried to go down that path right now, we're going to spend so much time on that, we're not going to get things done. And so normally I just love meetings. And I opened my mouth and said, you know, from my assessment, there's no way that we're going to look at a comprehensive children's redesign in 5 meetings, especially when we're not talking about funding, not talking about who the governance, because they were talking about forming a children's cabinet, who that was going to be, etc. So Director Palmer suggested that at the end, when we finish our summary, what we might ask the governor to do was to continuation of a segment of our mental health group to continue to work on some of the other things. He says that would be the more proper way to do that, because historically, and Deb could maybe mention agree with this, one of the reasons that it generally doesn't go forward is because it gets to that area of funding, and that isn't something that's not just going to happen overnight. As you well know, the governor still has to buy-in with his budget. The legislature has to decide where they are. But we did redefine the crisis intervention system and felt that that is something that's going to be positive and one that we can take a look at. I think there's going to be opportunities for regions to buy in and to some degree, but I was really pleased with that. And then Carla said she'll be bringing some information back to us to take a look at within the next couple weeks from the standpoint of regional work. But overall, she was very pleased with where we are. I was just wanted to say that I've been very pleased with Carla's now role in taking Deb's position for the operational portion of the region and her ability to work with the IATMED team. So we're again very fortunate that we have people capable to step in and keep the ship afloat and continue to enhance it. So I just wanted to put a vote of confidence out there for the work that Carl is doing on behalf of the region now that Deb's role has changed. So that's where we are. And then the only other thing is the Conservation Board did meet last night. A lot of positive things took place. There were several agreements that lease agreements that were approved. They did approve the wellness initiative that we adopted a little over a week ago for their employees, and they also supported a resolution to fund the National Resource and Outdoor Recreational Fund. You remember the last few years this has been a legislative agenda, and they've always been on board in support of that.
they asked that instead of just the chair signing it, maybe each of the board members would sign it, hoping that would give us some more leverage. And then the a couple things that was important, and you'll hear more about this, there was an agreement the acquisition of the Ballage family Jordan Acres Farm, and there's going to be a partnership between Pheasants Forever, Natural Heritage Foundation, and the Outdoor Alliance. And all this resolution is at this time is to actually pursue fundraising with other stakeholders for this property. And the Natural Heritage Foundation really has deemed this property to be of tremendous value, and we're very pleased with that. And then you'll hear more about this, and they'll bring a report to us at a later date. And we did have a representative from the Iowa State University Research Park, and we recommended approval of the agreement that has been placed along with some amendments, and part of the amendments had to do with the cost estimate of some of the bridges and things that were listed when there's actually a reduction. And I think one of the trails, instead of being on the west side, is all going to be moved on the east side. But Mike spoke, the bottom line is we didn't get everything we wanted as a conservation, but we came up with what we think it will be a tremendous opportunity, not only for the research park, but conservation as well. And one of the gentlemen that was at the meeting said that they were at a national conference, and they talked about the partnership and the relationship between the conservation, the county, and the university, and with water quality and all of these extreme stabilization. And many of the people were just blown away as to how they were able to accomplish this. So it's kudos really to all of us for the work that we're doing in this area. And I'm sure when within the next week or two, we'll have a formal presentation from the Conservation Board, which is just a recommendation for us to move forward with the lease agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Outstanding. That has a chance for us to touch more people in Story County than any other project we work on in conservation. Just with its proximity to Iowa State, it's an exciting project. And Wayne, thank you for your work on that. It is kudos all around on that. Announcer Supervisor Paul
Pass.
Anything, Wayne?
Well, I will just be at the ISAC Board of Directors meeting this Thursday and Friday, and it, as you know, late November is coming up. It's the fall school, and we've got that agenda all finalized, and we're just tweaking final communication to all interest parties as far as housing rooms, meeting structure, and I believe you're going to represent us on one of the panels talking about fine collection and courthouse security and so forth. So we're looking forward to that. So.
Outstanding. Wayne, I figured you're going to spend the night tonight at Chick-fil-A. I know they open tomorrow, and first 100 people get a free meal every week for a year. I figured you'd be spending the night there tonight.
Can I leave now and start camping out?
You're probably too late.
Of course.
You're being lying behind my daughter.
I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody.